All right, good. So we're going to go to Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is where I want us to sort of be in, especially over the next few weeks. This is a series. Sometimes to do a series is probably a good thing, because sometimes truth in the Bible, you have to kind of build upon it. You've got to kind of build upon it. I'm just going to turn it down just a little touch. Is that better? Yeah, that's better. You got to build upon it a little bit, and so bear with me. Let's just get right into this morning, and as I go into this, I really do have how can I say it? If there is a subject that is crucial for the believer, this one is crucial. It's a crucial one for the believer. So it's important to make note of, but it's all within the series. So the Bible, so David, obviously, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, as we mentioned last week, which was last week's sermon, the idea then is that you and I are saved. He is my shepherd. When you and I trusted Christ or came to him or however you got saved, but the point is this, when that happened to you or I, we actually became an is. He is my shepherd. And think about that. He is my shepherd. And one of the things with David as we go through this, salvation does this for the believer. It gives God the ownership that he never had till we got saved. So the Lord is my shepherd. And if you can say that, then you have a relationship with God that puts you and I in that situation. Then he says, I shall not want, which I'll talk about this morning. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's just pray as we get into this again. Father, thank you for thy word, Lord. It's a precious book to us. We ask God you'd help us this morning. Lord, we need thee. We need thy power. We need thy strength. We need thy blood and all those things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to sort of bring a thought to us this morning here, where when you study your Bible and understand that our Creator is God and he created all things, true? Amen. What God does, he shows, especially now with man, probably outside of the garden more so, he shows now that there's a direct connection with us human beings, and maybe even more so being his, that we have a nature that are like sheep. And so what God does, he creates things, and if we study sheep, you might have some understanding of the nature that you and I have. Now, you've all gone wandering this week, amen? Hallelujah, a sheep. Let's not That's not a bad thing. That's the nature we have. It's a nature we have, and God puts it that way. Secondly, when you think about David, the writer, who, before he went down to Goliath, down to the war, what was David doing? And whose sheep were they? The father's sheep. So he was a shepherd for someone else's sheep, in particular, they were the father's sheep. So just keep that in mind. So we are his. We're his. And then David says this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay, I reckon most of us here, we're pretty good with that one. Would you agree? Then he says something else. And he says, "I shall not want." I shall not want. I guess like sheep, especially in a spiritual manner, who's ever thought this thought? that somehow the grass is greener on the other side. Amen? It's just greener over there. I'm going to get a, you know, somehow we kind of get a thing in our head that, and by the way, we are his sheep, so don't worry about that one, but that can be so much a temptation, it's just greener somewhere else. And but I want you to understand, though, the Lord is our shepherd, and he's the one that will lead us, and he leads us now, not so much. I think that's the thing. You've got to realize when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's not talking about yesterday, he's not talking about in the future, he's talking about right now. He is my shepherd. So, but, and there is, and then he says, there is, but then what is the very thing? The question then comes to my mind, okay, he's my shepherd, but what is the specific thing? What's the specific thing when David says, I shall not want? I mean, don't we all have wants? We all do, don't we? Whatever it is. Generally, we want a better lifestyle or get ahead in life or whatever, but the point is want. But what is it? What is it that would David could say, I don't want? I shall not want, or I shall not want. What on earth, what on dear God are you talking about? I understand he's my shepherd and he can lead, all right? He has led us. Now, let's be honest for a moment. You have all been led by God, amen? But has that removed the want? So we have a problem, don't we? Then, dear God, what on earth are you talking about, I shall not want? Because it's very much in our nature, our human nature. We want, we need things. We're obviously, if we don't get things, we're going to die. And spiritually, we need things as well. And what I want to say this to you this morning, and this is what it is. This is what the thing we need above everything else, that we could be like David, who says, I shall not want. And the thing, first of all, to remember is the peculiarity. And this is the peculiar thing, that you and I have an is on us. That means we are his sheep. Is everyone his sheep? So not everyone has the is. Until they get what? Saved. Reborn. You become one of his. We were talking to a couple yesterday, and they said, we don't want to be Christians. That's okay. Amen. I'd rather them be honest. But they don't knock us for being Christians. I'd rather that way than some people. Don't try to make people, which they're doing now, try to become a Christian when really in their heart they don't want to be. Because to become a Christian, you'd want Christ, wouldn't you? Or the things of God. But what is the thing that I need that I could honestly say to the Lord, well, I shall not want? What is the very thing? And the very thing is peculiar to you and I is this. It's this, the voice of God. The voice of God. That is the thing that you and I need, and without the voice of God, we will want. So even if you looked at the psalm, where did the voice lead the sheep? By the still waters, into his pastures, amen? Maybe it's not just a temporal pasture, which sometimes the Lord will, he'll bless you. It could be more of a spiritual pasture. But the point is that there's a voice that leads. And without the voice of God, then I might not, and I need this voice. I need the voice of God. I need the voice of God even if he's not leading me. Because the voice of God tells me I am who? His. Amen? I'm his and he is mine. We need that voice. Even if everything looks to the sheep absolutely bad, you need his voice. You need the voice in the storm. You need the voice of God. Now, this is the thing that we need. So, And I want to really make this clear to us. This is what you need. This is what I need. I don't need something else. And I'm going to run through some Bible this morning that I think when you run through this, you will see a very great truth that is peculiar, by the way, to the believer. Because the unbeliever cannot hear God. Is that true? Now, they might, God can draw them to salvation. That doesn't mean they can hear God. They might see his blessings, but that doesn't mean they can hear him. But David said, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's how they hear. The first thing they hear or understand is that Christ died for them. Amen? He was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel for us as well. But so the clear, Jesus makes it clear. So come over to John 10. So come over to John. Most of you know John 10, but I'll stay in John 10 for a while. Because, by the way, when Jesus is speaking, is he not our shepherd? Is he not the shepherd, say? Of course he is. He is the shepherd. So let's have a look here in verse 5, and I'll read you. I'm going to just go to verse 5, then I'm going to read you the passage, but notice Jesus said this, and this is peculiar about someone who knows and understands the voice of God. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. And what's the next words, everyone? For they know not the voice of what? Strangers. So there are two voices, aren't they? And what God is going to show us, that his voice will help us, that when we hear the other voice, will we try to convert them? They said flee. It's an interesting thought. Other voices. Because other voices, a voice or an influence in our lives always is designed, and understand this is how God designed it, that a voice or an influence in our life that's not the shepherd is designed there to influence you, that you might follow them. Amen. That's why you need to flee from voices. Now, as I said last week, if you have a believer that is bucking the trend and doesn't want to come to that throne of grace to say, well, God, you are mine, I'm yours, what a blessing that is. We are his sheep, and we can say he is our shepherd, amen. Praise God for that. But then you get others who can't say that. What kind of voice do you think they would be listening to? Another voice. Because if you don't want Christ to be ownership to Jesus Christ, amen, let's be honest, if you don't want his rule and influence in your life, well, you're going to go somewhere else, amen? But it all comes back to that thought there. So here's the thought. So a stranger. Now, we are his sheep and he's our shepherd. And that's the thing to build your life upon, that we are his sheep. Salvation is you can't lose your salvation. We're his and he's ours. Other sheep, and by the way, and here's the difference between us sheepies and the world's sheepies. Because if you were to look at sheep and say I was to put, say, Mark up here and I put Linton up here and I was to sit down there and I was to look at both men, I would go, well, don't they look the same? And don't they have the same woolly wool? There's only one difference between God's sheep and someone else's sheep, is that our wool is his righteousness. Their wool is their own righteousness. You say, how do you know that, Brother Simon? Well, it's quite simple. You are Australians. You're Aussies. What do most Aussies think? I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't want to hear that gospel. Amen? Whose righteousness do they have? Their own. When you get saved, whose righteousness do you get? Christ. That's his wool. That's the wool that we have. And wool is for growing, and the wool is for the master, or the father, amen? We won't go into sheep, but that's the thing to remember. So if you can remember that, yeah, they have their righteousness, and our righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. My thinking is that he made me right, I'm going to follow them, follow the Lord. They think they're okay. They can't follow Jesus Christ, amen? Okay, so you've got those two sheepies. Have a look with me in Genesis 3:8 and keep your finger on John. We're going to come back. So go way over to the Old Testament. And I'm going to take you right back to the beginning because I want you to understand something that I don't think a lot of people misunderstand when they think of the garden. They don't really, might not be mentioned much, but there was something that was peculiar that happened in the garden before man fell. There was something that happened between man and God, and it happened on a, and it's in 3:8, in chapter 3 and verse 8. Now this is after they had partaken of the fruit. There's only one thing to keep them right with God, not to take of that one tree, but we won't go into that. They were beguiled and so forth, and without going through the full lesson there of the fall of man, there was something that was happening in that garden that God created between man and himself. He created us, and he created us really, as the Bible says, for his pleasure. He created all things for his pleasure, by the way. But it says in verse 8, now that they have fallen, and they heard the voice, what? The voice of God. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, isn't it interesting? The Bible doesn't say they saw God walking. Amen? What does the Bible say that they heard walking? The voice of God. Right from Genesis chapter 3. The very thing that they had fellowship was with the voice of God. It doesn't say that they saw him. Now, they might have seen a transfiguration or something, but the Bible points out this very important lesson for us because the Bible's written so that we can learn something. In the garden, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, what did they do, everyone? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Can I just be honest with you? What different is it today? I'm holding a Bible there. And I know lost people know it's the voice of God. And I used to do this when I was at work. I used to put this on the lunchroom table and read it. And before that, there was the Women's Weekly and the pornographic magazines and everything else there. Amen? And I'd start reading it. It's funny how people started to change their whole behaviour because I brought out a Bible. What are they doing? Hiding from the voice of God. Hiding from the voice of God. There's something spiritual and supernatural about your Bible. They knew that. What is Adam and Eve doing? Hiding away from the voice of God. What did they cover themselves with, everyone? Leaves. You know what the leaves represent? Their righteousness. They're hiding behind their, let's say, good works. I am a good person. I'm hiding behind my good works. That's what they're doing. The relationship changed somewhat between God and man then, because what was the one thing that God did? He got a knife or something and he killed a lamb and skinned it and covered them with another wool. Amen. A picture of Christ's righteousness. Right back there in the garden. And God said, your good works ain't going to do it. You can hide behind your little fig trees, and they do. And since then, man has walked away from the voice of God. They do not want to hear God. Now you say, is that only lost people? You know what? I reckon it's even more to the Christians. Far out. I have people who say they are believers, and you show them from the Bible to get right with him, and what do you think they do? They go worse than a sheep, they become a goat. Amen? But understand that man is frightened of the voice of God. Now, can I just say something here? They're frightened of something that is unknown. Now, listen to me. God's voice is, if God speaks to anyone, he's not there to harm them. That's what most people think. Most people fear the voice of God in the wrong way. The voice of God is there, is best for you. He loves you. Think about that. Hey, amen. I do not love somebody if I don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ or the Bible or even just live for him. I love them by the fact that he is our Savior. But John, and then remember John the Baptist. What was he called? Come on, you Bible students. Who represented Jesus Christ to Israel? John? What was he called? A voice. It's called the voice. You don't have to go there for time, but in Isaiah, it's prophesied of John. He says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. You know, a voice, the voice that John had was not a voice that would lead people to him. It was a voice that would say, there is the shepherd to Israel. Amen. He was a voice. By the way, as a pastor, that's all I'm to be. Not a voice for myself, but a voice for you and I that we can hear more from the one who saved us. Would you agree? So there's a voice. John 1:23, we won't go there. He said, I am the voice of... So John himself said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. So as said the prophet Isaiah. Or Isaiah in that particular sense to the Old Testament. And I want you to understand something here that, and if you take yourself back 2,000 years ago, when John appeared on the scene, and he was 6 months born before Jesus was, as you know, but when he was born and he came and he was a voice in the wilderness, what was actually happening then? Scripture was being fulfilled. That's amazing. It's written in Isaiah, and fulfillment of the scripture is being fulfilled. There's John. I'm going to look and show you another one soon, but there is scripture being fulfilled. John just didn't turn up on the scene and say, right, because the Bible says a man sent from God. He didn't just sort of turn up and say, well, I'm going to be a minister for God and I'm going to tell you when Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. He didn't do that. No, God, he was a voice. God raised him up to be that, but a voice. I'm going to continue on the voice for a while, and let's come back to John chapter 10 again, back to John chapter 10. So a voice. Now, what you could do right about now is this. Start thinking in yourself either one or two things. When was the last time you heard his voice? And now let me explain to you, it doesn't mean that the voice of God is always such a really big audible thing, but you just know that you're hearing from God. Could be, oh, now, amen. That's good, but I'm a voice. But that's good. Okay, so let's come back to John, and it's important to take these verses here. So he says, so Jesus said here in verse 1, so let's see what he's saying. Now remember, I just want you to keep in mind his conversation to the Pharisees. I want you to understand between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you need to know this, there's 400 years, and do you know what they call that 400 years? Silence. Silence. Do you know what that means? God ain't spoken. Well, hasn't spoken. Israel hadn't heard from God for how long? So don't worry if it's a day or two, guys. You know, Israel is 400 years, amen? 400 years of silence. God, think about this, God did not speak to them. Because, without going into the history, everything was all right up to a certain point, and then stepped in what we call religion, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ones that took over the faith, if you want to put it that way. And when Christ came, he really came to straighten them out, by the way. When Jesus was, there was a due time for him to come. But he says this, verily say unto you, so he's talking to them, and I will say this to you quite honestly, this is now they're actually hearing from God, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is what? Thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of who? The sheep. To him, that's the shepherd, which in context is Jesus or Christ, to him the porter openeth. The porter in this case is, do you know who that is? It's the Spirit of God. It's the porter. He openeth the door. Because you remember, if you hear a voice, how do you hear it? By a what? Spirit. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Isn't that, that's something neat. And leadeth them out. So your shepherd knows you by name, and he can call and lead you. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Now I want you to note very, very clearly here, Jesus makes it very clear to them that he putteth forth his own sheep. Make note of that. His sheep, own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And notice the next word, everyone. For they know, what everyone? His voice. Okay. So then how crucial is the voice of God to you? Amen. Think about that. We know his voice. It's crucial. It's absolutely crucial. It's a difference of being walking in the garden and being put outside the garden. The voice of God is absolutely crucial for you and I to know and understand the voice of God. Verse 5, but a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6, and I want you to understand something in your Bible. This parable spake Jesus unto them. Now, when Jesus Christ spoke a parable in your New Testament, he wasn't speaking to the believer who understands. He was speaking to who? The unbelievers. He spoke a parable. Do you know how many parables are in your New Testament? 36 parables. Do you know how many miracles? When Jesus uses the word certain, there was a certain rich man. When he talked about the prodigal son, he said there was a certain father. He's talking of real people. A parable is not, he's talking a parable to them. A parable is, well, I'm talking to you, but yet I know, and that's what Christ is saying, I'm talking to you Pharisees, but really what the Lord's doing, he says, I'm talking to you, but I know you won't understand what I'm talking about. Unless it sinks in a bit. That's a parable. So he's doing that, so he's talking, giving them a parable. And oh, I want you to say something here, and very clearly, and make this really, put this right down in your thoughts here, that here, the door that's opened by the porter is spiritual and the sheep hear his voice. I really want to say this really clearly. I'm so tired of hearing today that your salvation and my salvation is not a profession. It's supernatural. God saved us supernaturally. I'm so tired of the pastors today. They don't believe God can save anyone, amen. But it's so wicked that all they want to do now is to get someone to have a profession. Make a personal human profession. I believe in Jesus Christ or something like that. No, salvation is nothing like that. Salvation is the Spirit of God that somehow moves in our life and all of a sudden we become believers. It's a supernatural God. You and I are supernaturally saved. It is not just a profession of our faith which we can make, But that profession, because it's supernatural, then now I understand by the Holy Ghost of God who indwells us that Jesus Christ, who I cannot see, is our shepherd. Amen. It is a supernatural thing from heaven to man. Amen. We need to get back to that. You have flocks of people out there by these other pastors. Can I just say something to you? I do not believe they're getting saved. You say, how do you know that, Brother Simon? Because when it comes to the voice of God, the Bible, and you open it to them, do they go, amen, hallelujah? Or do they do this? Flee. Interesting thought, isn't it? When you get down to this thought here about the voice of God, and you start looking at that, and you say, well, why are you rejecting the voice of God? I've got the word of God. There it is. We know the Bible is not by a necessarily intellectual thing, but it's supernaturally. God does a work in your life, amen? You know those things supernaturally. You understand those things supernaturally because God gives that understanding to us in salvation. Who can honestly say this morning, I'm so thankful to be saved? Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's supernatural. I got saved supernaturally, amen, and thank the Lord for that. Why do you get so excited about that? Because it's not human-made. It's not, as he said in John, he said it's not flesh and blood. It's not manipulated by man, and men are manipulating people who don't want to be Christians to become Christians. Yeah, amen. That's what's happening. Yeah, and you know, the Bible says that we're born again. It's a controversial book. If you're not born again, you won't go to heaven. If you haven't got the second birth, you go to hell. I mean, I'm not trying to be. I'm just giving some little bit of fact. Hey, when I knew I wasn't saved, I knew where I was going. I had a guy the other day who said that hell was in the grave. I got to thinking about that. Lord, I'm thankful you didn't save me just out of the dirt. Amen. I mean, how could your salvation be not supernatural? And then you say you don't believe in hell or heaven. You can't say, I mean, today they don't want to say, you know, nowadays it's like hot isn't hot and cold isn't cold. Well, it is, whether we like it or not. You know, there are absolutes, but it's supernatural. It's funny, the other day Jan and I were driving along and I've got podcasts on my iPad, and for some stinking reason it drives me nuts. So we turn on the cars, you know, they all connect up these days, and all of a sudden we're going along and boom, a sermon comes on. And it could be anyone. And I've got, because I've got a couple of churches on this podcast thing, and their messages go, and I've got a couple I don't listen to. And this pastor came on and it made me feel sick. I thought, you know what made me feel sick? I didn't recognize the voice. I got to listening to him. And he was talking about David, coincidentally, we're doing today, about David. And he started to talk about Goliath, which they love to do. And this is what he said. David became expert in the slingshot. What, to kill Goliath? Listen to me. David was a pastor, a shepherd. He cared for the father's sheep. Did he kill the lion and the bear by human strength? Of course he didn't. He killed it supernaturally. Even though he said, Saul, hey, listen, mate, I killed those things with my bare hands. Because he was a shepherd, cared for the father's sheep. When that lion and bear came along, he killed them. When Goliath appeared on the scene, he just used what he had. Bing! Amen. But he didn't run around and say, listen, I'm going to start a workshop and I'm going to show you how to use a sling. I'm going to show you how to use... I mean, I'm being absurd, really. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous, the stuff that people will submit themselves today to listen to when it comes to the Bible and the Word of God and our salvation. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's stupidity. I mean, that's how they look. You know why? Because they're trying to make you better. I can't make you better. I can't even make myself better. Amen. We can't make ourselves better. But as I said this morning, we have Christ who can regenerate us. So the pastors today, can I make this really clear to you? And I'm going to draw the line in the sand here. The pastors today do not care for the sheep. Do you know how I know that? Because it's all about them. Amen. It's all about them. If a pastor, you're listening to me, it ain't about you, buddy. It is about the Father's sheep. Amen. It is not about you. It is about our Father's sheep, and I'm one of them. Yeah, hallelujah. This stuff today is not helping anyone, because if you really care for the Father's sheep as a pastor, who then should you lift up? Jesus Christ. Amen. Because who do you need? Jesus Christ is your shepherd. Amen. So what kind of pastor would I be if I don't lift up Christ? What kind of pastor am I going to be and say, now listen, mate, if you just take all these worldly things and you become better, fix yourself up somehow so we can build our church. Come on, everyone, say amen. So we can build it. And can I just say something to you? There's only one church that's left here after we've gone. Which one's that, everyone? The Catholic Church. It's well and truly there. Because the Lord, who loves us, won't take us through some horrible time on earth. By the way, can I just say this to you honestly? We are not, in everyone's thinking today, somehow they think that we're in the last days. And I'm going to do a message. We are in the last days as far as the 2,000 years. But I'm going to do a message soon on, I'm going to do a message that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he'll change us. What you and I have tried to do all our life, God will take just a moment. He'll just change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Can you understand that biblically, that after that moment, the world changes? There are catastrophic events that this world has never seen will not happen till after that event. You and I ain't in it. You think it's bad now, that is going to be a far more worse. That's why Jesus Christ called it the Great Tribulation. He didn't call it tribulation. Yes, we all go for tribulation. He's talking of Great Tribulation. He's talking about something that the Old Testament talked about. But in a moment, God will change us. And what will happen is that you and I will take off this old body, this old flesh that are alive, amen. It'll drop to the ground, amen, and we'll meet our Savior or our Shepherd in the air. And they that have gone on before us will come with him. Amen. And that's what will happen in a moment. And I love the Lord. He's got such a great sense of humor. I'm the most irreverent person. I really am. You know, I was speaking to a couple yesterday, and I said, we're talking about plane trips, and we came back from America. And we were in those big A38s or something, and we were down. Jan and I were stuck. They always put us in the tail. So it's like this, 13 hours. It's like you're in a, you know, and then there were storms everywhere. And I hate God. I said, I hated God. Get rid of the storms, will you? Amen. Hey, why can't I? Don't I believe that he has control over the storms and the rain? Amen. I was mad at him. I mean, shook around like a thing. Hey, listen, we can be irreverent to a point to our God. At least we believe that he's the one in control. Amen. And then the Lord says, well, listen, buddy, You've tried to change yourself all your life, Moya, and I'm just going to do it in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to show how stupid we are and how much effort and strength we put into something which we had no need doing at all. And by the way, can I just, on that note, can I just say this as honestly, that in today's Christianity, people are wasting their life. They're being used up. Amen? They are. Because they have moved away from the truths of the Word of God. To say, no, Lord, you are our shepherd, you can do it, and he can do those things. Come over with me now to, come over. Now, we are talking about the voice of God. Come over to Luke chapter 4. Now, the voice of God then is something you and I need. Now, I know sometimes people say, well, you might hear the voice of God when you go to sleep at night. If you're anything like me, that is the last thing I hear at night. Dreaming. I don't always hear the voice of God. Sometimes the Lord might wake me up to get my attention about something. But the point is that the voice of God will speak to us clearly, and He'll make known to us the Word of God. He'll make known to us the things we need to know. He won't hold back things from us. You remember how that on the destruction when Abraham. Now, I think of Sodom and Gomorrah and how that they said, will we hold this thing back from him, Abraham? And how he let them know what he was going to do. Now, here in let Abraham know what to do, then Abraham made intercession and he started with 50 people and it went down to a couple. Because who was in Sodom? Lot. So in Luke chapter 4, you have what we call in the Bible, this is the beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry. Jesus has been now, we often say he's approximately around, say, 30-year-old man, but this is now where the 3.5-year earthly ministry of the Lord begins. And what's happening here is that he's been in Capernaum and he's coming back to his hometown, Nazareth. So let's pick it up in verse 16, everyone, verse 16. Now, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Now, at this moment, he has the disciples with him. And his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for a read. So it appears then that for most of his life in Nazareth, his tradition was for him to read the scriptures on the Sabbath. And there was delivered unto him the book, the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah, which we mentioned before about the prophecy fulfilled of John. So now Jesus is reading from the book of the prophet of Isaiah, and he's reading from Isaiah 61:1, and he will quote this here in your New Testament. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So think about this for a moment. So now Jesus is reading the scripture, and he's reading, as his custom was, from Isaiah 61:1. And this is what Isaiah 61:1 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me, to preach the gospel. And we often say this is the beginning of his earthly ministry here, as he's proclaiming the ministry the Lord had given him to do. Preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, that's not a bad list, is it? Not a bad list when you think of people that are bruised and so forth. And then he also says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, dealing with the first and second advent. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes, now notice this, of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, I would probably say that Joseph and Mary were there, and I'd probably say that his stepbrothers and sisters were there as well, because that was that's the local Sabbath, local synagogue. Do you understand that at this particular time, historically, that not all the synagogues were corrupted? by the Sadaherim. They weren't all running to the party line. Does that make sense? You know that because you remember in John 1, after John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You remember Nathanael and Peter and them say, come, we have found him of whom Moses and the law spoke about, which is the Gospel of John 1:35. In other words, that synagogue were believing the scriptures and they were saying this is fulfilled of what Moses had spoken about. So remember, Jesus Christ, when he came, he never came to write anything, did he? He came to what? To fulfill what was written, which he will do on the second advent. So here he sits, he closed the book, and now let's think for a moment. So let's just think for a moment on our thought here. He's the shepherd, he's the voice of God. Here now he's opened up the scriptures, he has spoken, he's closed the book, and he's only spoken those two verses. And he gave it back to the minister, sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And then he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your what? Ears. Can I put it like this to you? Can I put it like this? It's in a way the word of God becomes audible. Have you ever just read the Bible and all of a sudden a verse just sort of seems to something happening? It's called the living book. It's not for a reason. And he says to them, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of whose mouth? His mouth. That's the voice of God. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now let me just say something to you. I want you to think for a moment. If we are his sheep, and the Bible says we know his voice, and we know it's his voice, what would you do when you hear his voice? What more so if he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled? What would your reaction be? And yet that's the voice of God. Come on, believers, think for me. Are you going to say amen? Amen. This is happening. Regardless of anyone else, regardless of family, friends, whatever, amen. The voice of God, are you going to go amen? This is being fulfilled, or will you flee? Let's have a look what they did. And he all bear him, and they began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. By the way, can I just say something to you? When you hear the voice of God, it's like a detox. It detoxes you from all the other voices. You know what a detox does? Cleans you up. Didn't Jesus Christ say to the disciples, ye are now clean for the word which I have spoken unto you? And you know what a detox does? It cleans us up that in our minds, in our hearts, I know the Lord is my shepherd and I want to hear from him. And when I do hear from him, I praise him. How many of you had answered prayer of recent? Don't you love it? Jan and I, we booked a place down in Sydney when we go away, and you know, when you get on the line, you book it and you don't really know who you're talking to. I've had trouble, and then we couldn't figure out to get car parking, all this sort of stuff at Manly and all this kind of rubbish. But I prayed about it, and so we went for that, put the deposit on, and then Kerry comes over and says, well, you could use Airbnb, well, that sounds good. We found cheaper prices and all that sort of thing. And isn't it funny how... So I'm distracted by another voice. It was really good this morning. I said, Lord, which one? Woke up, bang, 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 the one that we originally booked with, And you know what you tend to do? Well, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother John, can you thank the Lord for the flat? Amen. He can do it. But not this crowd. Not his home crowd. Remember Jesus said, if you be my disciple, don't prefer your family over me. Boy, that's a tough one. Or you cannot be my disciple. Amen. I know my wife sometimes misses her children. And I often said to her, anything your children will ever see is you living for Christ. Oh, amen. They will not that your children will not see you living for Christ. Do you expect them to live for him? Maybe. Because he can save us, amen? And he can do that. But it's still a hard chore when you think about that. But it ain't too hard when you realize he's our shepherd and he can lead us into what? The places we don't want. Okay, so he leads us into those places. And they wondered in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Because he'd already done the first miracle of the water and wine. He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Is that not true? Jesus went unto his own, and the own received him not. But he says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months. You remember that? Remember Elijah? Remember how Elijah was taken out into the raven, where the ravens were taking the food off Ahab's table, feeding him out there? By the way, the drought here is 3.5 years. It seems significant to probably tribulation. 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But then verse 26, but unto none of them, this is the Jews or Israel, was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You know what Jesus Christ just said to his own hometown? He said, then, when there was no rain, and I had my prophet there, that he went to none other, to a woman of a city called, was it Zarephath or something? But if you look at it, it's on the outside of Israel. The woman was a Gentile. They knew. Because what was Israel doing at that time? Rejecting the voice of God. They weren't listening to the prophets. Then he says, he uses another illustration. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, Lysus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. The Syrian was a Gentile. And yet God's people weren't cleansed. Do you remember when Moses went to get the tabernacle? The Ten Commandments? You know, Israel didn't want to hear the voice of God. They said, Moses, you go. Amen. You go. I don't hear the voice of God. You guys, you go up there. And in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with, what, love, joy, excitement? No, wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, but he passing through the midst of them went his way and came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Here's what I want to say to you is that do understand something really clear here is that he was the voice of God to his own people, and yet when he spoke to them, he spoke a truth to them. Instead of them getting excited about the word of God, what did they do? They rejected him. This is a pretty tough Bible lesson, by the way. It is. You either believe the Bible or you don't. You know what I mean? But it is a tough lesson. It's a tough lesson. What did man lose from the garden? The voice of God. Jesus gave a list in John 10, didn't he? And this is what I really think it's come to today, and this is probably the best way to put this. I think there are many temporal pastors today who use a human voice. And I think they ignore the voice of God. Because the voice of God's for who? Us. To hear from God. You say, how crucial is that, Simon? Well, I think it's really crucial because I remember when I had my Pi van and I had my little gospel tracks there, and there was a guy that used to come and buy his pies and that from me, and I remember the workers said, I don't know if he was very liked or what the thing was, but the Spirit of God said, give him a track. Give him one of my things that I had. And I didn't. Next week, I said, where is such and such? I haven't seen him. Oh, he got killed in the car accident. How do you think that plays on you? I mean, when you think of this, when you think what I'm talking about, this is crucial. This, when you start looking at the Bible, this is a really, what would you call it, this makes you think. And it's eternal, not temporal. And I think the thing is we can't lose the fact that we have heaven and we have pastures that we're going to, and God can lead us in these pastures. You can't lose that fact. And the fact is that for the child of God, I need the voice of God. Now, Jesus used pretty hard words. He called the others strangers. He called them thieves. He called them robbers. He called them hirelings. And a hireling is someone that will flee because they care not for the sheep. When who comes? The wolfie. What does the wolfie want to do? Eat the sheepy. Amen. And they flee. You know why they flee? You know what a hireling is? It's all about the money. It's all about the dollar. It's all about being paid. And if God ever calls you into the ministry, can I just say to you, forget the money. Amen? Don't worry about that. But on the other hand, there's something even far greater. But isn't your shepherd going to give you what you need? Amen. So really, what excuses do we have? None. I mean, it's terrible. I've tried to do this, Lord. You sent me where? Here. When I was in Boona, we were out there for, I don't know how many years, 7 years. And for Boona, in my pastor, and the reason we went out to Boona was for the Bible. And we didn't, you know, I knew of some churches growing up, but really knew of no other churches, but we're out there in Boona, something like Kingaroy. I really believe that the 7 years was a real place for the voice of God. Because that's all we did was the Bible. We didn't do anything else. We didn't have any other textbooks. We had the Bible. And we went through the Bible in so many different ways. But then, because we are sometimes associated with what we call the independent Baptists, or people of, or somewhat like faith maybe to the Bible. And so for me, I had friends, so after that I went to other churches. Now, some of those churches were quite good because in the beginning, there was the voice of God. So, like, I hadn't sort of really left Boona and totally lost the voice of God. But the longer I was there, things started to change. And you know what started to happen? The voice of God became dim. Amen. Dim. They were being influenced by other voices. I couldn't find the voice of God. I didn't say this last week, I thank the Lord as my shepherd, because he led me out of the independent Baptists. Amen. I want nothing to do with them. You say, are you being... I don't want to have anything to do with them in this sense. What they've done for you and I as believers, and I think it's criminal, especially the pastors, who have now stopped or blocked God's voice to speak to his people. I remember when Jan and I were up north, I said to my wife, and this is what it was like, and this is, I'm being serious, my wife used to come home after church crying. And I said to Jan, I said, you have to be a strong Christian to withstand this spirit that was there. She went to church wanting to get something out of it, came home a total emotional mess. I think this stuff is not real, folks. And then the Lord led us down here. And we've had our 2-year Bible thing, haven't we, guys? Why? So we can open the book up again, so we can start getting around the voice of God again, amen? And once we start hearing from the Lord, that's the thing you and I need. Because once I start knowing it's his voice, I recognize his voice, it helps me to make decisions. Helps you to make decisions. And one of the decisions is this. Guys, the grass is not greener on the other side. It isn't, is it? We have to realize what Psalm 23 is all about. Psalm 23 is about this. The Lord is my shepherd and he will lead me into green pastures. He will lead us beside the still waters. He does it. And yet today, it's not about him doing anything. You know what the church, the cat's cry is today? We'll build it bigger so we can usher him in. That's what it's about. That's a false doctrine, by the way. That's not true. So when you start to realize that your whole Bible is the voice of God, really, and it speaks to us personally. Now, it's interesting. He said, now, it's interesting. Think about this for a moment. He said, I'll lead my sheep and I know them by name. So the Lord knows us by what? An individual name. He knows us individually, true? And he can speak to us individually. And yet here we are in a church today and he's speaking to us as what? As his sheep. So the idea then is, make sure, for me, is to make sure that I get the Bible back in your lap. He speaks to you individually. And of course, that's what Sundays used to be about. Everyone used to come to the church with a Bible under their arm. Because it was all about that. And then as things progressed, the Bible slowly came out of the pew and came into the pulpit. What that basically happens then is that the pastor becomes the final authority in lots of ways. But nowadays, it's not even in the church. I've seen this happen. I said, how do you go to church and the Bible isn't even there? So that's where we live. That's where we're at. I know I've gone a bit long today, but I think it's just an encouragement to think about your Saviour, about your God, about his voice. It's a personal voice, and yet it's a voice that is clearly understood by the Bible. Now, I'm going to close with this thought. We here preach Jesus Christ of the Bible. this one here. I think if you search that out, you'll find that people are talking about a Jesus Christ that is not here. It's another Jesus. And if you follow that through, you'll start to see that. And that's all to do with the voice of God as well. I'm not going to talk about a Jesus Christ that is out there. We need to talk about the one of the Bible. And that takes a while, because then you've got to put your faith in what the Bible's telling you. And there it is. And really, what I think there it is the thing then is, what I think happens is that, have you ever found times in your Christian life where somehow you just either can't get to the Bible, or you're just not opening it up for some reason? They're hard times. That's very difficult times, they are. But once God starts opening the book up to you, which I call revival, you know, they always talk about revival. A revival is when men get back to the Bible. When people get back to the Bible and it starts to speak to them, that's revival. Now, so the scriptures become audible. And as the scriptures became fulfilled in Jesus' time, when he spoke in the synagogue, and when John came, when the scriptures speak to you and I, do you know what God's doing in our heart? Fulfilling scripture. Because that's what John 17 was about. He says, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Then he went on, as you remember last week, he sanctifies himself for who? Us. The word sanctification means to set aside. Christ is set aside for us right now, because we're his sheep. He hears us, he knows us. He's still doing that work. But God tells us to sanctify ourselves through thy word is truth. Now, if the word sanctify means to separate, and I start getting into my Bible, and I start to read it, and it starts to sanctify, and it separates me, unto who? Unto Jesus Christ. But if I'm being separated, who am I being separated from? And this is tough. From those who don't want the voice of God. Amen. That's why this book is so controversial. That's why this book is like a sword. That's why a lot of people don't like the Bible. It's sometimes just too black and white. It's this or that. But if I'm being sanctified, which God has done for all us here, and he separates us, what is he doing? He's separating us so we can hear from the Lord. That's why. So therefore, Sundays really should be about our want or our need, that we could get just something from the Lord today, something that I need today that I can get through this week with. Amen? Now, if I go to a church that's not happening, then I walk outside and my need has not been met. If your need has not been met, what are you and I likely to do? Go somewhere else and find a different need, a different voice. Amen? You know, Stephen yesterday, he was trying to give up smoking, and he was smoking those e-cigarettes or something. I said, well, why don't you just go and suck lollies? Find a different need, you know what I mean? I think that's what we're like sometimes. We've got to realise that we come back to the Bible and think, hang on, this is the voice of God. This is what I need. He is my shepherd. And I'm going to keep saying this, because you say, why are you saying this over and over again, Simon? Well, I'm 60, I've been saved for 35 years, and you think that I'm still learning this lesson. Amen? Let's close. What's our last hymn? What's our last one? Standing on the Promises? I'll ask Linton up and we'll do 370.